third part, chapter 19, text 19 through 21. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains this riddle in this way. It says, tell Mahaprabhu that everyone has become intoxicated with love for Krishna, and so in the marketplace of love, no one is buying the rice of Krishna Prema any longer. Tell Mahaprabhu that the crazies are so intoxicated with love that they are no longer involved in their material duties. Tell Mahaprabhu that Advaita said this in a state of complete intoxication of prema. In short, the message was that the purpose for which Mahaprabhu had been called to earth by Advaita had been completed. Now the Lord may do as he wills. And So that was a little something about Advaitacharya. Does anybody have anything they'd like to add? Sachin.
There's one point also very significant that since you mentioned that Advaitacharya was elder to Lord Chaitanya, almost like a grandfather, but he considered himself to be a devotee of the Lord.
Yeah, I forgot
and
this
he,
one. Yeah.
That was very painful for him to see that Lord Chaitanya would treat him, you know, like a senior devotee, and he was not happy about it. So he wanted to be just like the other ones. You're my Lord. I'm your servant. What are you doing? So he disguised a plan in which he will go and start preaching the Mayavadi philosophy, something that Lord Chaitanya, something that any Vaishnava cannot tolerate. So he came as a thunderbolt. Lord Chaitanya came and started, you know, slapping him. And I think he mentioned that throwing him in the ground or something. And the wife of Lord Advaitacharya goes, stop it, stop it. He's an old man. What are you doing? So that's very interesting to see, you know, that usually it's very hard for, you know, at least materially speaking, to see that you offer respects to, you know, a younger person offers respects to an
yeah, but what was his Advaitacharya's reaction?
Yeah.
When Lord Chaitanya chastised him, what was his reaction? What was Advaitacharya's reaction after he got chastised
happy about it. Yeah. Of course, you know, now you accepted me as your disciple.
Right.
That's
an important pastime. Any other pastimes anybody remembers? Yeah. Oh, Prema. I named up first.
So how is possible then, you know, children of great personality sometimes they are not devoted, they're just, you know, they turn into Mayavadi. How is possible?
Free will. I think that was the point that Prabhupada made when he came. Yeah, okay.
I have a similar question, but my question is like, so three devotees, three sons were bhaktas, and the other three were, that's my question, were Brahmavadis or Mayavadis?
Mayavadis. They weren't following the devotional path. Right. They weren't. I mean, I can't remember 100% clearly, but my impression is from what I read that they weren't like devotees, you know. They definitely weren't devotees. Whether they were, I don't really know. In other words, I don't know if they were Brahmavadis or Mayavadis, but they were not devotees, you know. And just following, getting a little bit more to the answer to your question, Prema. I mean, Prabhupada had three sons actually. One son kind of disappeared when he was young, but the two remaining sons, neither one of them really were serious devotees. I mean, they kind of had some. One of them had Vrindavan Das, had some appreciation towards the end, you know, there's that Prabhupada memory where he speaks about his father, but the other didn't do an interview like that. I forget his name. So, you know, there's an example. Prabhupada himself. Oh, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. He had 13 children. I don't think there was, of course, Bhaktisiddhanta and his brother, Lalit Prasad. There was other male children. I mean, it was two boys and 11 girls, so there's no mention of them being devotees. So it happens. Everybody has their free will, yeah.
Prabhu, and can you tell us something about the Shantipur pastime in which when we go to Mayapur for the festival, so there is a day that we go to serve prasadam, and it says that anyone who serves prasadam at that particular day gets Krishna prema or something like that. But I don't know how the whole pastime came. Or maybe I heard, but I forgot. So.
Yeah, I can't remember clearly. Yeah. Archita? I know it's a big festival, and they do it every year and have been for years and years and years.
Yeah, this is not about the festival. I just wanted to mention the mood that Advaita Acharya set in terms of how devotees should interact with the world. Because back in his day, the Muslims and the Hindus lived fairly peacefully together, but it was kind of a strict separation. We know that pastime proper tells of how when a Hindu guy was kind of poor and, you know, was hungry and starving, and his only option, he said, is I could go to my Muslim neighbor and beg some food. But if I eat food from him, then I'm going to be cast out of the Hindu society. It was so strict. So he did. He went to his Muslim neighbor and begged some food. And the Muslim neighbor said, I don't have much, but I have a little. I can give you a little something. So he gave him a little something. He ate. He was still hungry. And that's when he said, I've lost my caste, but I'm still hungry. So it was so strict back then. But Advaita Acharya set the example by his dealings with Haridas Thakur, that we're off the body. If you're a devotee of the Lord, you should be off the bodily platform. You should, and beyond these designations. He didn't care that the strict Hindu society would criticize him for his close association with Haridas Thakur, for giving him the Shraddha Patra. You know, he didn't care. He was setting the example for us that if you really are advancing in Krishna consciousness, you should see beyond these bodily differences, you should see beyond these designations, and act accordingly. Advaita Acharya ki jai.
Jai. Want to say something more?
There is also another significant event that happened before Srila Prabhupada came to America. It is described by Mula Prakriti Mataji when he was interviewing all those devotees who were around, still there, that knew Prabhupada. So one of them, who the Pujari of that particular place, was mentioning that he saw this particular devotee coming there. He was a Grihastha at that time, Srila Prabhupada. And he will be crying and begging and crying and crying, chanting his rounds. And he was very impressed, very impressed. So that, you know, sets precedent to see how Srila Prabhupada understood the mood of Advaita Acharya, how compassionate he was. Because by his call, Lord Chaitanya says, the roaring, Advaita Acharya roared and called for me. Now I'm here. What are you doing? Sometimes he used to mention that to him. You called me. So in the same mood, Srila Prabhupada was praying, because unless you help me, you know, I'm just putting these extra words in my own opinion, that, you know, he was coming to the West, but he's praying because he's so kind to all living entities. So I'm going to do the same thing, practically speaking. Help me, I need your help. So this Pujari was so impressed, and later on it is described that he saw him, but now as a sannyasi.
Oh, right. I remember that, hearing that story.
You know, that was...
Prabhupada got inspiration from the mood of Advaita Acharya.
So now, I don't know the story properly, but if Archita knows it or somebody else knows it, can you please tell the pastime about the offenses?
I mentioned that at the beginning of the class.
Please tell him.
Yeah, so his mother, Sachimata, she was not happy, you know, really, about the fact that Vishwaroop, because she had, it was either... eight daughters, Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra, and they all passed away one after the other. So then she had a son, Vishwaroop, and he was brilliant. You know, he was like a really amazing personality. So he was going to Advaita Acharya's classes. Advaita Acharya was giving classes on Bhagavad philosophy, and he was attending. And he was very inspired, you know, by Advaita Acharya's association, about, you know, hearing about devotional service. And he was also aware that his mother and father were making arrangements for his marriage. He kind of like, you know, caught wind of that somehow. And he thought, no, I don't want that. So he took sannyas. He disappeared. He left and he took sannyas. And his mother and father, well, at least his mother wasn't too happy about that. And, okay, what could she do? So then, and Lord Chaitanya, he used to go and when his brother, he was just a very young kid at the time, so his brother was going to these classes, you know, these by given by Waitacharya, and Lord Chaitanya was sometimes going and taking him prasadam, you know, like your younger brother's delivering you lunch when you're at school, something like that. So, you know, Lord Chaitanya had some connection there too. So then what happened was, Vishwaroop's taken sannyas, he's out of the picture. Lord Chaitanya started associating. It's after he was married. You know, he started going to the home of Advaitacharya, and he was associating with him and, you know, hearing from him and like that. And Mother Sachi was kind of very concerned about that. And I don't think she actually said anything, but in her mind, apparently in her mind, she was thinking that, you know, well, Advaitacharya is already kind of responsible for one of my sons taking sannyasa now. You know, if you know, my other son, Nimai, keeps going, he's probably going to take... So she was thinking a little bit offensively about Advaitacharya in her mind. And then, so that was there. And then Lord Chaitanya performed this pastime. How does it refer to? Sapta something? But this pastime where he revealed his form to the devotees. Mahaprakash. Yeah, went on for 21 days. All the devotees were coming, and Lord Chaitanya was revealing to them, you know, his form and then their particular rasa, their relationship, like that. You know, like whatever their devotional's heart desire was, Lord Chaitanya was reciprocating with that. So one of the devotees asked Lord Chaitanya, well, is Mother Sachi, should we bring her? And Lord Chaitanya said, no, you know, she's an offender. She's offended at Advaitacharya. And I don't, as I said, I think I read that she hadn't actually said anything, but in her mind. So she had to go to Advaitacharya and kind of reveal her mind and ask for forgiveness. And Advaitacharya, when he heard, you know, what she was feeling bad about, you're the mother of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I mean, you know, he didn't take it. He wasn't offended at all. He didn't take it like that at all. And he started glorifying Mother Sachi, and he was glorifying her and glorifying her and glorifying her. Finally, he kind of lost consciousness. So she took advantage of that opportunity to get the dust of his feet and smear it on her head. So when Lord Chaitanya heard about that, then he said, okay. It will give her love of God.
There is another interesting point also in this Shantipur festival. When, you know, a few devotees, I used to go very often there and I distribute prasadam. The whole village will come.
Yeah, it's a big, big festival.
Hundreds of different villages. And I also noticed that's to the villagers, to the outside people, but the Brahmins there, they make a special arrangement for a, you can say, selected, or in this particular time, Yapadaka Maharaj, you know, Yapadaka Swami will come with all his, you know, sannyasis, and the old Prabhupada disciples will be there, and it's the most amazing preparations that I had the chance to be there. They invite me. I mean, some Prabhupada disciples just grabbed me. So I was like, wow, amazing. Just like the Radha Raman, what is the other in Vrindavan? Radha Raman temple also has, you know, amazing cooking, different preparations, different persons, I don't know. But I just want to mention that they carry the same tradition in honor of feeding the Brahmanas.
Yeah, you just remind me of another pastime, but I'll need help. This one. There's that pastime where Lord Chaitanya, when Advaitacharya is eating with Lord Nityananda. Advaitacharya is feeding Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda.
Yes.
And Lord Nityananda, Lord Chaitanya is complaining, yes. I can't eat all this. You know, you're putting prasadam in front of me that's enough for 50 sannyasis. Forget it. And Lord Nityananda, he's complaining. Right, he was complaining that I've been fasting for 3 days, and what you're giving me is not even a morsel. It's not even going to be able to satisfy me in the least, you know. And so they were joking, you know. Yeah. And Lord Advaitacharya became angry. Said, "Look, you're just an unknown mendicant. Just be quiet and eat what I'm giving you, and don't make problems, you know. And so then Lord Janad did something else. And at one point, what did he do? He waited till Charlie threw the rice. Nityananda threw the rice and on the floor, you know, like in disgust, you know, look, what you've given me is not sufficient to even satisfy me. So he threw the rice and some of it hit the ground and bounced and hit the body of Advaitacharya, and he started right dancing in ecstasy. You know, they felt he would, had been blessed by, you know, Lord Nityananda. So that's another pretty ecstatic pastime. Yeah. All right, well, Advaitacharya.
Okay.
Jai.
Fasting day, huh?